This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Most of us will never need the services of a public defender, but if you are a low-income person accused of a crime, maybe even unjustly, you may need one of those attorneys, and it's your right to have one. But they are in crisis right now, and it's time to talk. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Last month, the Northwestern University School of Law hosted a statewide summit on the future of public defense. It was an afternoon-long affair put on in part by the Illinois Justice Project, and there were some bleak and frank assessments of the challenges facing public defenders across the state. The Justice Project invited me to moderate a panel on proposals for meeting those challenges. You're going to hear some of those ideas and the arguments for and against them. Our panel consisted of two public defenders and two key state lawmakers. We started off with Elizabeth Pollock, Chief Public Defender for Champaign County in Central Illinois. It's a post she's held since 2022. She's also been a federal public defender. I asked her what she most wants to see changed among Illinois public defenders.
Well, I would say the priority is for all of us to finally have the resources that we need to treat our clients the way that they deserve to be treated. Because For however long there have been public defenders, there has been a paradigm that we are somehow supposed to be understaffed, underfunded, and under-resourced. And if you want to be a public defender, you're going to burn out in a short period of time because you're going to work your tail off without sufficient resources until you can't handle it anymore. And that's just what you go into this business expecting to do. And what I would really like to see is finally, because we have the momentum now where people are finally looking at this system and understanding how under-resourced we are, that we can use that and turn it into a paradigm shift for the state of Illinois. So that I don't have to sit up at night worrying that my staff are going to burn themselves out and have physical and emotional health detriment as a result of the job that we do, which is a necessary one and one that is absolutely required by our Constitution. So this has to come from the state because in our counties, we are siloed, we are isolated by ourselves. I'm the chief defender in Champaign County and I'm lucky because I have a wonderfully supportive county board. And I go to them and they say, man, we really understand why you're doing what you're doing and we love the dedication that you show to your clients, but I'm really very sorry we don't have anything else to give you. And so this has to come from a statewide initiative and that is why I am such a huge supporter of the FAIR Act.
The FAIR Act is legislation that is moving through the Illinois legislature in Springfield this session. Yes, it's an acronym, though spelling it out won't tell you what it is or what it does. It's the Funded Advocacy and Independent Representation Bill. Told you. Meet Rockford State Representative Dave Vella. He is in his first term in Springfield, and he was a lead sponsor of the FAIR Act. He was an assistant public defender himself, and he was better suited to explaining it.
So what we're going to do is, A, create a statewide public defender. What that person will do, once appointed, is find a way to, A, funnel funds to the individual county public defenders. B, come up with some statewide ideas of how we're going to be able to recruit and retain new public defenders. When I first became a public defender a quarter of a century ago, I went to NIU Law School, and it was basically, we had public defenders coming out of there left, right, and sideways. Now it's a lot less. People just don't want to be public defenders anymore, unless people are going to law school. So finding a way to get more public defenders, more money, and a voice down in Springfield. That's the other thing. The reason why there isn't a lot of state money going to public defenders is there is no iconic person down there to say, that person is speaking for the public defenders, right? There's somebody there to speak for the judges, for the sheriffs. Speaking for the public defenders is going to be key to getting money. So that's number one. Number two is the data. The data is going to be robust. We're going to be finding out how many public defenders are and how many cases there are. And I guarantee you, at least my experience is, most of you are going well over the recommended allotment of caseload per county, right? Per state's attorney, or per public defender. And you're doing it because you care about your clients, you're doing it because the clients need you, but you're also doing it just because that's what's in front of you, right? That's the files. And third, the public defender is gonna be, we're gonna find a way to appoint the public defenders that don't involve the judiciary, don't involve the judiciary holding an axe over the public defender's head that they could be fired. So to go back a little bit, I was a public defender again for 4 years, and during that 4 years, we had a system where you'd start in traffic court and you'd make your way all the way up to felony court. There was a time, gosh, a couple decades ago, where I and a couple other public defenders were attempting to do something. There was a state's attorney who was kind of out of control and was trying to push everything to trial. So we said, okay, fine, we will go to trial in all these cases. And it was slowing the process down. And I was told by my public defender, my chief, hey, you can't do that, it pisses off the judges. Well, that slowed me down in my pushing back on the state's attorney. And it was something that did not help my clients. So I just want to keep that in mind. Anecdotally, this stuff happens to me, and anecdotally, it happens to a lot of people. It's not happening all the time, but it's there, pervasively there, just sitting. So those are the three things, money, data, and autonomy, which I think the public defenders need.
You should know a couple of things at this point. First, the audience in the ornate Lincoln Hall at the law school was largely made up of public defenders and staffs from across Illinois and others active in the criminal justice system or government or advocacy. The other thing is that it is judges who largely appoint public defenders, and some of them are a little leery of the FAIR Act. Which brings us to Jeff York. He is DuPage County's chief public defender. He's been in the post since 2010, and he has some concerns about the proposal for the reform of the public defender system. I asked him to talk about the role of judges in all of this.
I definitely think they should be involved in the sense that they know who good lawyers are, but they should not have control. And I think that's the difference. As the chief public defender of a large county, I have to work with all the other departments. If we're going to set up a new kind of specialty court, if we're going to try to figure out COVID or the Pretrial Fairness Act, we have to work together. And the judiciary is certainly part of that, and so is the public defender's office. I wouldn't expect that would change, no matter how the public defender is selected. Just like we figured out with state's attorneys and sheriffs, who the judges have no say in. So certainly I think judges' opinions matter in the sense of they know who is good at being a lawyer and assessing attorneys. But it's odd, and I was going to use a basketball analogy, but the baseball analogy of I can't believe the referee is picking the team captain. So the ability to hire and fire a public defender, the chief public defender, it's been a problem for decades, my entire career. And I have felt that pressure myself. I have been told as a line public defender, do not file that motion. I have been told you're not supposed to be that good. When I won a case, I shouldn't have. And I actually consider myself fortunate. In DuPage, the judges have been incredibly kind to me. But every 3 years, it's a new adventure because we get a new chief judge every 3 years. And so it's just a matter of time before someone I've pissed off or will piss off becomes chief judge and wants me out. In my bio, it jokingly says I've been yet to be fired, but I actually feel that pressure all the time. It's never really out of my mind. So the FAIR Act provides us an opportunity for the judges to be involved, but not to have us under their thumb. And I think that's important for us to do our work and do it effectively.
So let's get into the nitty-gritty of the FAIR Act and the challenges of getting it passed and put into effect. Chicago State Representative Justin Slaughter is the Legislative Black Caucus Chair and an outspoken advocate for criminal justice reform.
Policy 101, no policy implements itself. No policy implements itself. Oftentimes, this is a result of a myriad of different individuals, entities, in this case, maybe all three branches of government collectively coming together to implement this initiative. What we did with the FAIR Act is actually create a commission. I'll come back to that in 1 second. Secondly, a lot of it, Craig, also has to do with ancillary additional efforts to actually get to implementation. One of the things that you're seeing here in Illinois and really across the country is turning the page to implementation. Once the governor is signing these bills, it's really just words on a piece of paper, but how do you bring these words to life? Many of you know that we've done a lot. You know, me, myself, as a sponsor of the Safety Act, sponsored 4 trailer bills to the Safety Act. So it's not just an event, it's a process, right? When you talk about ending cash bail and what we've done to reform our pretrial services system, we just didn't have it sit there on the shelf. Similar to this, we created an Office of Statewide Pretrial Services, right? We followed that up with the Pretrial Success Act, would put resources there, right? We also passed the Reimagine Public Safety Act, which is really more about crime and violence prevention, but nevertheless, it's creating that statewide infrastructure and that network that's going to be needed in regards to flushing out those programs and services to really support a pretrial system. And then, of course, lastly, and Representative Vella just talked about this, and Craig, you alluded to it, but where do the resources come from, right? Where do the resources come from? When you talk about mass incarceration and the crisis in the era that we're in, follow the resources. A lot of resources went to creating this crisis. And so now we are embarking upon a new chapter where we are reprioritizing and being more, in my opinion, I think Rev Vella would agree with me, being more fiscally responsible in regards to how we operate our criminal justice system. But 2 highlights just on the FAIR Act that I did want to point out. We created what's called the Public Defense Fund, right? A Public Defense Fund. And so when you talk about the myriad of discussions that will happen, we really are going to be looking towards propping up this fund to launch this statewide Office of Public Defense and get it off the ground. But one of the things there is protecting it from interference. Since we, and I think this is back in 2022, when we established the Public Defense Fund, everybody in AMAMA is trying to get their hands on this fund. Judges, public defenders, county board chairs, county board officials. What we want to do is ensure that these resources are going towards this effort to ensure that we do have a robust, comprehensive public defenders program system that will be able to touch all areas of our state. We also are creating a commission that will oversee the rollout of this particular office. It's a very robust, diverse set of stakeholders. The Illinois Public Defense Association, the Illinois Council of Chief Defenders, the Governor's Office, the Supreme Court, legislators, community organizations, providers, will all be participatory in this commission, right? And so you're gonna have a myriad of different diverse perspectives coming together to Representative Vela's point, not just kind of flush out what's needed operationally and programmatically, but also engage with the legislature, engage with the General Assembly as it relates to fleshing out the priorities budgetarily that we'll need for the software.
Liz Pollock, the defender from Champaign, acknowledges a big challenge is eliminating the disparities among the funding levels of public defender offices around Illinois.
Well, I think that's part of what the FAIR Act is going to help us accomplish, is we're going to have the data to back up what the needs are for each of those disparate counties. Because right now, my case management system, I cannot tell you how many open cases my office has. I can't tell you how many murder cases we've litigated in the last year. We simply cannot run that data. It doesn't exist. What we do know is that the most recent workload study that was released by the RAND Corporation, which bless Julie and her staff for helping us apply it to our case numbers with the limited data that we've been able to access, but I should have 7 or 8 more lawyers in my office than I currently have. And I should have up to 6 investigators and 6 social workers. When I started, we had investigator and 0 social workers. So we need the data to back up what we need to flesh out the system statewide. We all know kind of colloquially that we need more resources, but where do we need them? What county needs them the most? I can't share my resources with my neighboring county. I'm in a good position, all things considered, even though we're all exhausted, but I'm in a better position than a lot of the smaller counties who don't even have full-time public defenders. And so what this bill is going to help us do is figure out exactly how to address those disparities that we don't have the information to address right now. So we all know they're there. We all know we need help. We just don't know exactly how to get it or what the numbers look like, but we will as soon as the new statewide public defender has an opportunity to study these issues.
State Representative Dave Vela knows public defenders are stressed about the current system, but change is scary too.
Public defenders are nervous, right? We're breaking up the status quo. They're worried about what's gonna happen. They're worried about upsetting their judges. They're worried about upsetting the whole system. They're worried about losing their jobs. There's a lot of worries out there, right? So there's a lot of talk about concerns about local, right? Every circuit feels like they run their circuit in their own way. If you go to Ogle County, it's very different than Winnebago, it's different than Stevenson, it's different than Galena, Joe Davies. At least it feels different to them. So everybody wants it to be more local, everybody wants it to be more controlled by them. Now, I can tell you that we are working towards something that would I think, bring everybody on board. And if we can get all the public defenders on board, and I think everybody else will come along with them, because this really just has to do with them. So I think if we can do that, everybody's got a public defender in their district. And if those public defenders say this is a good bill, I think we can get this passed, no problem. As in relation to the money, it is an imperative. It's not just an imperative budgetarily, but it's a moral imperative that we do this. And I think most of the legislature understands that. And it's not a lot of money, right? It's not going to be billions of dollars. We have a $56 billion budget. We're talking about, you know, certain amount of money long term that could just be there for DNA experts, extra attorneys, little things here or there. It's not going to be a lot of money. So in the long term, God willing, and I keep winning my elections, I'm going to keep fighting for this every year to just get more and more money into it. I think that's a very doable amount.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and you're listening to a discussion on the future of public defenders in Illinois. Those are the, for now, court-appointed lawyers for those who can't afford legal representation. Last month, I moderated a panel that discussed plans and legislation to overhaul that system and the funding for it. You're hearing Rockford State Representative Dave Vela, Chicago State Representative Justin Slaughter, Jeff York, the Chief Public Defender of DuPage County, and Elizabeth Paula, Champaign County's Chief Public Defender. DuPage Public Defender Jeff York is on the board of the Illinois Public Defenders Association, which supports the FAIR Act.
Well, as a group, we need change, and it's time. We aren't used to this kind of attention or anyone interested in helping us, so this is kind of weird for us. But we need change. We lack resources, we lack independence, we lack influence, and we lack sufficient staff and other stuff. I think the FAIR Act is progress in helping us to accomplish those things. In terms of the things that need to be worked on, I think there are a lot of parts of the bill that are left open-ended because it is so different in Champaign or Davies County or Cook or DuPage. And so I think part of the reason why some of the things that give me pause, how is the state public defender going to get appointed to a case, is open-ended for a reason, because I think further discussions need to happen. And I think we're all anxious to be a part of that conversation.
Is there any concern that a statewide public defender's office might step in and usurp the efforts of a local PD? Liz Pollack says no.
Well, I think that if there is that feeling, that it's a misplaced feeling, because this bill leaves in place the existing county structure. So the state public defender is not going to come in and take over your county and, you know, tell you how to litigate your cases or tell you who to hire and fire. They are going to come in and say, we see that you're lacking resources. What can we do to supplement those resources? And we know that the resource differences vary wildly across the counties in the state. So I may, as a person in Champaign who has a supportive county board and a bigger budget than a smaller county, I may not need the same level of support from the statewide office as some of these smaller counties, but we as a group need to be concerned with the representation of all indigent people in this state. It should not vary that you have one county is able to perform the service and another county is not. So the details about how the county public defenders are going to request help, is there going to be a process for that? Those are things that once this office is created, there are going to be proposals, solutions, a lot of talking. We're all going to have an opportunity to give feedback and be involved in that. We can't possibly outline every single detail at this early stage, but we know that in order to achieve change, this is the first step. And so we have to take care of our brother and sister counties who don't have public defenders or don't even have lawyers in them. And the statewide office is not going to be a blanket that covers us all. It's going to be a trickle that comes down and fills the gaps where we cannot provide the services that we are constitutionally obligated to provide.
Clearly, the audience at Northwestern's Pritzker School of Law was on board. Persuading the full General Assembly takes some work. But State Representative Justin Slaughter feels they are up to the task.
You know, one of the messaging points that we really want to hammer home here is that this is not about being soft or hard on crime. This is about being smart on crime, right? When you look at how not just Illinois, but our country has invested in our criminal justice system, you're talking about really a system that has destroyed communities, destroyed families, destroyed individuals. And so how do we reimagine, reprioritize how we're going to be budgeting, how we're going to be investing? One of the things I've always said is that criminal justice reform is being fiscally responsible. And this really is permeating throughout our system, whether it's our efforts before individuals get to the system, individuals that are in the system, and then even looking at our reentry efforts. And so the rhetoric and the messaging on this, I think, has to resonate in that way in terms of us being smarter about how we invest. But as we look to balance both safety and accountability as well as fairness and equity, the need for this is just tremendous. I mean, whether it's the little data that we do have that speaks towards the reason for doing this, or even anecdotally, myself, Representative Vella, we have individuals, families that come through, Representative Davis, individuals that come through our district offices, right? We get emails, we get calls about the myriad of different challenges and the need that why we need to actually reform and make these changes. But when you talk about protecting the right of the accused and those who, in the right to counsel and legal representation, we really want to be at the forefront of this nationally. One thing that we've learned is we must bring all the stakeholders to the table, all of the stakeholders, whether you are an advocate, whether you are an individual that has lived experience, whether you are part of the law enforcement coalition, the chiefs of police, the sheriffs, the state's attorneys association, who am I leaving out? Maybe even the Illinois State Police and others. The judges, of course. It's vitally important that all of the stakeholders be at the table as we, in a collaborative effort, start to hash out what's going on, right? And so what I mean by that is bridging the gap between policy, but also the practice of what's gonna happen with practitioners, right? It's been an honor. I know Representative Vella can echo this, to just be at the table, to be able to bring together those stakeholders. It also takes collaboration from the entire legislature. You heard from Senator Sims, I believe, earlier today, who's been a champion for this. Was the Senate President here too? I'm not sure, who's also been a champion. But you need both chambers working in tandem. If you were able to kind of trace back to what happened with the Safety Act in 2021, the Senate and the House were on the same page. And so that's how we were able to get these efforts across the finish line. You also have to be reasonable. You know, like with the pretrial fairness component of the Safety Act, that didn't go live right away. We gave the state, if you will, a few years before that went live. Same thing here, I believe it's 2 years, right? 2 years, so that we can cross our T's and dot our I's as we launch this tremendous effort. A lot of us obviously are kind of keeping track with Cook County, but we're talking about 102 counties in the state of Illinois. I repeat that, 102 counties that are going to be impacted by the FAIR Act, right? And so you have different needs, right? Different needs throughout different regions of the state, right? So how do we all come together, create a system that's able to identify those unique needs, and then put forward a proposal that's amenable and flexible, right, to be able to provide the solutions that these great individuals to my left will be able to implement. And so we have a lot going on here. I would say to everyone, take a look again at the Sixth Amendment report that came out, I believe, 3 years ago.
June
2021. It lays a great foundation and a framework for what this panel is talking about today. But we have a lot going for ourselves locally and also nationally in this regard. I think we're one of three states remaining that doesn't have
Mississippi, that
doesn't have a public defender system that the FAIR Act is putting forward. And so, you know, with that, we will take a lot that we've learned over these last 4 years, and we're excited to push forward.
In fact, this week, the Illinois House approved the FAIR Act by a comfortable margin of 71 votes to 41. The legislation now moves to the Illinois Senate. A downstate public defender in the audience asked the panel what they could all do to help the passage, and Champaign Chief Public Defender Liz Pollock took her cue from the epic film Braveheart.
Separate and apart from Mel Gibson and his character, it's a pretty decent movie. And there's a spot in that movie where he says to Robert the Bruce, "Unite the clans." Yeah. Right? That is what we as chief defenders need. We need somebody to unite the counties who is going to be able to take things like this, study it, put it forward, advocate for it. Right now, when I need something, I yell into the void and cry, right? But if we get together and we have somebody who's at the head of this office that can take suggestions like this and study it and advocate for us at the state level, imagine the possibilities.
I would like to thank the entire panel for giving us such a robust discussion. The Summit on Public Defenders was organized by the Illinois Justice Project, and my thanks to them and specifically Annie Sweeney for inviting me. The event was hosted by Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law. And I want to give special thanks to Charlene Grace, the policy director for the Cook County Public Defender's Office, who organized the topics and the questions for our discussion. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dullimore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.